This is the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the first chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, he entered the synagogue and taught. They were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Just then, there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying with a loud voice, came out of him. They were all amazed, and they kept on asking one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." At once, his fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise
to you, Christ. Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we're nearing the end of the season of Epiphany, where our focus during this season has been on Jesus being made known to the world. We call it being made manifest to the world. As I read, reread, thought, prayed about these lessons that we have for the sermon today, three very distinctive, very powerful words came to mind. And at first I associated one word with each lesson. But then pretty soon it dawned on me that all three words could be applied to each lesson. And what's more, when you take all these three words together, you just sort of put them together almost in a sentence, they give a pretty good description of what life is like for a follower of Jesus. The three words that came to mind to me this week were faithful, forceful, love. In our first lesson, God is faithful in keeping his promise to Israel about bringing forth a prophet from among them. In the story, Israel is just on the verge of going into the promised land. And God knows Moses won't be going with them, so he's giving Moses a few words of encouragement and instruction to pass along to Israel. When we pair this particular text from Deuteronomy with today's gospel lesson, it's kind of our way of proclaiming that Jesus is this prophet promised by God. Jesus is the lens through which we Christians read the Old Testament. And in bringing forth Jesus from among the people of Israel as their prophet, God is being faithful to that promise he made through Moses. So faithful was the word that came to me in reading that first lesson. So then where do the words forceful and love come into play in this lesson? Well, if you know the context of this lesson, if you know the verses just before our lesson starts, God's giving instructions to Moses about how Israel is supposed to live once they enter into the promised land. As you read through them, these instructions are given in a very forceful way. Let me just read to you a little bit of that. "When you come into the land that the Lord your God is giving you," the text says, "you must not learn to imitate the abhorrent practices of the nations." In other words, those nations who are already in there. "No one shall be found among you who makes a son or daughter pass through fire, or who practices divination, or is a soothsayer, or an augur, or a sorcerer, or one who casts spells or consults ghosts or spirits, who seeks oracles from the dead. For whoever does these things is abhorrent to the Lord. It's because of such abhorrent practices that your Lord your God is driving them out before you. And the text finishes this way. It says, "You must remain completely loyal to the Lord your God. Although these nations that you are about to dispossess do give heed to soothsayers and diviners, as for you, the Lord your God does not permit you to do so." You don't get much more forceful than that. But even within the text of our first lesson, God's forceful in describing to Moses how Israel's to respond to this new prophet he's going to raise up. God will hold accountable anyone who does not heed the words of the prophet. And furthermore, any prophet that claims to speak for God but who doesn't, the text says, is going to pay the ultimate price. Again, very forceful words. Finally, we recognize that it is out of great love for not just the nation of Israel, but for the whole world that God speaks so forcefully, and why God keeps His promises so faithfully. If Israel lives the way God commands, there'll be a stark contrast to the nations that already live in those lands, because those tribes practice things like child sacrifice and sorcery and divination. By contrast, Israel will be a light to the nations. And they need to survive. They need God's help to survive. Because if they don't, how would God then raise up Christ through the nation of Israel? And so that brings us to our gospel lesson. In it, Jesus is very forceful in both the way He teaches in the synagogue and the way He speaks to that unclean spirit that He encounters there. And I guess to get the full impact of this lesson, you have to know something about the way Mark writes his gospel. First of all, Mark invented the whole gospel genre. I mean, scholars looking back through history can't find anything quite like the gospel written before the first century AD. It's a story. It tells the story of Jesus, but it's not quite a biography. It's a story told with a theological purpose. Mark puts together this story of Jesus to communicate truths about who God is, who Jesus is, and what it is He came to accomplish. And He does this in a very fast-paced, almost raw way. For Mark, Jesus' life and ministry is a race. Jesus is in a race against the powers and forces that oppose Him. He needs to get His disciples trained up so they'll be fit to carry on without Him once He goes to the cross. And it's true, Jesus will ultimately reveal to the powers that be that He is in fact the Messiah, but He's going to do it on His own terms and in His own time. He can't and He won't do it until His followers know for sure who He is and until they're ready to carry on without Him. So in the meantime, the whole time that this story of Jesus has taken place in Mark's gospel, it remains a secret to the powers that be that Jesus is the Messiah. When scholars look at the book of Mark, they talk about the messianic secret. It's a secret to the powers that be in the gospel, in that gospel story, that Jesus is the Messiah. It's not a secret to us as readers. Mark makes that very clear in the very first line of the gospel. He writes, the very first line says, "The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God." It's out there in the open for us. We know that Jesus is the Messiah, but it's a secret, and it remains a secret to the powers that be until Jesus chooses to reveal it. And that's why He speaks so forcefully to the unclean spirit in our gospel lesson. Because this part of the story is occurring at the very beginning of Jesus' ministry. He's in His hometown of Nazareth, preaching His very first sermon. And the unclean spirit does something truly diabolical. He's about to out Jesus as the Messiah. long before Jesus is ready to make his identity known. Remember what it says in the gospel reading? He identifies Jesus as the Holy One of God, come to destroy all evil. That is a description of the Messiah. Jesus reacts with a forceful rebuke, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit has no choice but to obey the King of all creation. He shuts up and he leaves the man he was oppressing. And this is not the only forceful act recorded in our gospel lesson. Before we're even introduced to the man with an unclean spirit, we're told about how Jesus teaches forcefully in the synagogue. He teaches as one with authority and not as one of the scribes. So this connection between forcefulness and faithfulness came as kind of a surprise to me as I read our gospel lesson. But it's not so much of a surprise when you try to connect it to that first lesson that we read. By teaching about the kingdom of God with authority and by rebuking the unclean spirit forcefully, Jesus was faithfully fulfilling the mission God gave him to do in the world. And of course, he's doing everything from his teaching and healing ministry right up through his crucifixion out of love for a world gone bad. Jesus loves his killers enough to pray for them even while he's hanging on the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And St. John reminds us that greater love has no man than this, than he laid down his life for his friends. Faithful, forceful love is at the heart of our gospel lesson. And so we come at last to our second lesson, where love is front and center. Paul's writing to the church in Corinth, and at first, you know, this whole reading about sacrificing meat to idols, that just doesn't ring very true with us. We sort of don't get that today. But that's sort of secondary to the message of love that Paul talks about in this lesson. He's writing this letter to the church in Corinth because they're having some problems. And here again, it's helpful to know something about first century Greek culture to fully appreciate the kind of the depth of this lesson. Because back in those days, most people didn't eat meat every day, sort of the way we do today. Most of the time, the meat that was available, even in big cities like Corinth, only came because it was sacrificed in pagan temples to gods. And sometimes it was even prepared in the temple to feed the temple workers. Anything that was left over was made available to the public. And this is what created a problem for some of those early Christians. Some were afraid that if they ate the meat that was sacrificed to idols, that they'd be blaspheming God, especially if they went into the temple to get that meat or if they ate it there. And then there were others in the church, and presumably these were people who had been Christians a little bit longer. They thought differently about this whole thing. It turns out that folks with more of a full understanding of how they were free in Christ, they didn't have a problem eating meat sacrificed to idols, because they knew there was only one God, and that idols weren't real, and that they weren't worshiping pagan gods when they ate this meat. So we read this story, and it comes as a bit of a surprise to us that even in the early church, there were issues that caused division among them. We're not the only ones that faced that. It was true in the first century too. And so Paul's writing this letter to sort of deal with this issue. And Paul basically says, having knowledge about faith matters is okay. It makes us feel good. But he adds this. He says, it's really love that builds up the church. And here Paul leads by example. It's a great example of that. He's ready to cite his own superior knowledge. Well, you know, all you have to do is read a little bit of Paul to know what an intellect he was. But he's ready to set that aside if by applying it, it causes another believer to stumble. Paul says he'll never eat meat again if it'll keep another's believers from violating their conscience. And you know, it would have been easy. It probably would have even been logical for Paul to use his superior intellect just to argue these so-called weak Christians or newer Christians into submission. But he doesn't do that. He's willing to set aside his superior knowledge and his own personal preferences for the sake of unity in the church. And it's just not too much of a stretch to characterize this act of humility as both forceful and faithful. Paul's staying faithful to his mission to take Christ to the Gentile nations. And he knows that by setting aside his superior knowledge and personal preferences, he's not compromising that gospel message in any way. He is, in fact, living it out by encouraging Christians to love each other, even when they have differences of opinion. So let me leave you with one last thought. Faithful, forceful love is a pretty good way for us to live as followers of Jesus. When the world seems to be having its own way with us, when we feel like we're sort of being kicked, we do well to remember that God is faithful, that God keeps His promises. We have God's promise that ever since the life and the ministry and death, and especially the resurrection of Jesus, that evil doesn't have the last word in the world. God's kingdom and will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God is faithful. Christ going to the cross for us was faithful. And we have God's promise that the Holy Spirit will be present to bring about faith and repentance in us today. Through the Spirit, we're empowered to live godly lives, kingdom lives, here and now. And then our gospel lesson teaches us to be forceful as followers of Jesus. Like Christ, we're to speak out forcefully against those forces and powers that would draw us away from Christ. We're free to say, "Be silent," to that constant drumbeat, that noise, those distractions, and modern idols that threaten to pull us away from Christ. We're citizens of the kingdom of God. And whether we like it or not, whether we admit it or not, there's a spiritual war that opposes that kingdom. Our Lord and Savior spoke forcefully against those opponents, and so can we. And then finally, Paul reminds us that within that community of believers of which we're a part, love is the order of the day. We build up the church through acts of love, by encouraging one another, and not by beating one another into submission. Our goal as followers of Jesus, be as faithful and as forceful in our exercise of love as He was. Amen.